Lagos Talks 91.3 and Corporate Shepherds presents the Man of the Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome ID Enang. This is Navigate with ID Enang.
Welcome, my very dear friends, to Navigate with ID. As always, what can I say but to thank God for His grace, thank God for life, and also thank God for you. Today is another special day, and it's a day that you and I are grateful for the gift of life. Once again, we are about excellence. We are about that opportunity to ignite excellence. And I hope this particular edition, which I trust God to be power-packed, will help you navigate through what it takes to have that spirit of excellence. And so I want to set clearly some form of objectives concerning this particular edition. Number one is to help you explore, understand, and deepen your values. Number two, to help create a set of priorities within your value set. And number three, to assess your current work and life situations against your prioritized value set. In essence, what I'm saying, friends, in order to ignite excellence within you and around you, I need you to define some personal values. And what does it mean to define personal values? It means that you need to identify and then take on the mantra of doing. So there are different personality characters in every one of us. Many a time we hear people say, wow, that guy, that lady has a lot of drive. That guy, that lady has so much life, is the life of the party, comes in, there's so much dynamism. You can hear people say, oh, that gentleman or that lady is so caring, has a lot of empathy. Or sometimes you then hear people say, this person is very analytical, this person is very process driven. I've just painted four character types in different dimensions for you. And so in identifying your values, so let me take, for example, you are one of those that people say to you, you have such energy and drive. Then what are those values that you need to really, you know, take as your pinpoint, take as the thing that you will focus on in order to ignite excellence? Number one, you have a sense of autonomy. That means you already have a sense of independence. What it means, in essence, is that you must begin to drive that atom or boldness that you have in a way and manner that is collaborative. So if you want to be an excellent personnel in whatever field you find yourself, given that people tell you that you have energy and drive, you need a measure of collaboration. If you have some of the feedback or characteristics of boldness, you know, someone that has this direct nature like myself, I'm very direct. You know, when you have been direct in the face, someone will say to you, you're so frank, you're so direct. Yes, those are character traits that can come through. You may also be one that has power and a sense of adventure. But adventure here is not the usual cautious adventure, but it's an adventure to attain something. People that are self-driven, that are highly motivated, sit in a certain space. And these are some of the values that you can identify with. And you know, okay, I'm going to have to pitch my tent somewhere. Now, let me go to a second part of it. And I talked about the kind of personality that is very dynamic, would be called the life of the party. You come into a situation, you are one person that likes, you know, to be included in every matter. You are very sociable. Now, what are those values that you need to identify with? One is excitement. One is zest, another is creativity. So in that world of creativity, you always desire fun. What does it mean? Again, it requires collaborative power. You cannot do it alone because you can't have such values and you want to do it all alone. You are not in that single space. You are in a collective space. Another value that sits within this particular personality type is elegance. When you see people that are so inspiring and outwarming, then you know that these guys, you know, when you say they are sociable, they are the life of the party, It means that there's beauty radiating from within. But then, one thing they require is the ability to move into the space of excellence means that they require some measure of drive. Because most times, people are not going to take them seriously. So people are going to look at you and say, ah, this guy is very unserious. But in your zest, in your exciting world, you bring a lot of sunshine into situations and life. But some other person just sees it and says, this person is, those are dampeners. And so you need to watch out for dampeners, people that come to extinguish that beautiful flame that brings out the very best in you. Let me migrate into the third kind of character personality that I want to paint for you. When people say to this set of people that they are caring, they are empathetic, they are warm, what it says, in other words, is that you are a strategic helper. So in your world, in identifying the values that follow that, means that you are someone that requires harmony. You are someone that is caring. It means that you are reliable. Those are, you know, reliability is a strong character trait and a strong value for anyone that has that helper spirit. And one thing that they don't joke with is dignity, because they are very dignified in their space and they always look forward to fairness, grace, and more importantly, justice. When you see someone that is always craving for justice, that person is empathetic. Now, how do you take that to another level of excellence? The reason you can take it, and the only way you can take it, is for you to sit in a place of harmony. You cannot have harmony alone. Harmony has to come in a collaborative nature. How? You need to begin to innovate, because your natural person is within yourself. You need to begin to do things differently. Just like the other person who brings life to the party that is dynamic, that person is looking for freedom. But you need a sense of fulfillment, and that fulfillment will only come when you are able to ignite each of those things that are in you. Those values are very key. Don't trade them for anything. And when you do, you'll find the sense of justice. What is justice? It's just that you sit back and you begin to feel that, oh, life has been given a meaning. Some life has been given a meaning. There's some context that has taken on life. And that way, you walk away as a very fulfilled person. You would have attained excellence, because you've just ignited the very core values that sit within your own character trait. Last but not the least, would be this set of people that would naturally be ascribed or described as analytical. They are very process-driven. They are not just process-driven. These are ethicos in our own terminology. Ethicos because they need facts and figures. So if you have a husband that is a man, typically accountants, I pity women that marry accountants. I'm just saying that's a joke on the light side, but some with some out of truth. When you're going to the market and say, darling, can I have chop money for this month? He says to you, come, last month I gave you 50 naira for this same exercise. How come it's 75 today? What is the delta? And you say, what is delta? Is the difference. What is accounting for that change? These people are in this space. Now, if you are lucky to have a boss that is like that, you ask for cash advance and the man will tell you, what are you doing with 150 naira? Why would you go with Uber? You should take Okada and save the company some money. That's a character trait. Now, what you see is overanalysis. These people are structured. They are so fixated in their world that it's all about order. So something must move 1, 2, 3, 4. They don't believe in 1, 3, 5, 7. No. You can't skip 2. You can't skip 4. You must take it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This sort of people are deep thinkers. And then if you are in that space, the question is, how are you going to ignite excellence? Many people are going to be so bored with you. People are going to stay away from you. And particularly if you are in the accounts department of your company, they only come to you because they know at the end of the day they need to sign their payroll, or they need to get their salaries, or they need to get their expense. That is the only place where the friendship will get to. What you need to do to ignite excellence is for you to step on the pedal of humor. You need to step on the pedal of joy. How? By radiating happiness. And the best way to radiate happiness is to show measure of creativity. Creativity will help a man or woman that is fixated to come out of those doldrums and begin to work in a collaborative power set, because he or she is doing something very different from the norm. Tell me, the day you find your spouse, because it can be two ways, it can be the man, it can be the woman. Like I did say, if your spouse is a chartered accountant and you want to buy a BMW and say, honey, I want to buy a car. Let me tell you a simple joke. My son told me this. One of his bosses called them together. He normally sits down with some of them, young lads, and they have chit-chat some time over coffee. And then he said, this man, they always love him because far older, you know, probably will be just a sly over my own type of age. So a big boy within the company, but then he likes the company of the young chaps. So over coffee, he was telling them, guys, you know, and he normally would change his cars ever so often. So the young boys were saying to him, Bob, how do you get to do this? He said, I learned too late in the game of what to do. So let me tell you guys, it is easier for you to apologize and ask for forgiveness than to get approval from your wife. Yeah. They said to him, what do you mean? He said, if I realized earlier, I love cars, and if I want to buy a car, and I go, honey, you know what? I just saw this beautiful XYZ I'd like to buy. She says, no, Bob, we got money. We need to do XYZ. And so he realized that every time he saw this car he wanted to buy or thing he loved, electronic gadget, something, his wife would tell him, but why do we need it? We already have one. So he then decided to switch. He decided to do something different. And each time he bought a car, he'll get home and she'll see it and say, sorry, honey, I just got a little prize, a little gift, just a little toy. She said, what is it again, Bob? And then, lo and behold, the new car. She'll look and say, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. And he realized that it was easier to get forgiveness off the table than to get approval. Now, guys, I'm not saying you should go and do things. And what I'm saying to you is, if you're stuck, if you have a personality who is stuck in a certain way, creativity will get you, and flexibility to ignite excellence. And that is just the essence of that joke. So the question now is, how do I identify values in the different contexts? Remember, we're talking about igniting excellence. So many of you listening to me will fall into either of these categories. Now, the categories are inexhaustive, but trust me, you should be able to find your way inside this whole maze. I can't list everyone, but within those five buckets, I believe that you will be in that space. Number one, and I'm talking about identifying values in different contexts. Number one, when doing paid work, that is, you are an employee. Number two, when doing voluntary unpaid work, that is, you volunteer to serve in some capacity or in some work. So it's volunteer service. Number three, when pursuing your leisure interests. What are your leisure interests? You like, you want to go surfing, you want to go hiking, you want to go biking, you want to do whatever, you know, their leisure interest. Reading, which of course has never become a leisure interest for a lot of young people these days. But let's put it this way, watching Big Brother, that's leisure interest. It's a paid time job. Number four, with your friends. That's a context, you know, identifying values within with your friends, and last but not the least, with your family. In order to deepen the understanding of values, you need to say to yourself, this particular value, remember I did a list of several within the personality or character traits for you, the four buckets I took. You need to say to yourself, this value is important to me because of X. So, for example, if I say to you that this particular value, creativity, is important to me because I want to live a very open-minded and flexible type of life, that becomes something you are definitely going to work on. What it means is that anything that will stifle your ability to be creative, you will not take it on, because it will infuse negative attitude. And once negative attitude gets in, I've said to you many times, negativity or a negative attitude is like a flat tire. It's not going anywhere. When someone has a flat tire, your car is not going anywhere. So if you have a value like creativity and you want to nurse it and take it up within the deeper context of it, then it means that you must have an open mind. And what does it mean, having an open mind? It means that you must, within every subject, keep fairness as a watchword, keep dignity as a watchword, look at harmony. And it's really, harmony is for me defined in my own simplistic terms, a win-win. You win the relationship and you win the deal. So you win the argument and you win the relationship. That is harmony. Now, people then look at you and say, what a fantastic persona to deal with. This guy is so good. This guy is so amiable. You know, you've achieved excellence in some sport. Some other sport, you may not be so excellent. But here's what I want to say to you, that over time, your values can change. Do you know how they can change? They can change because of the various stages. So I was a little boy once upon a time. There were certain values that I had. Most of it were ingrained by my parents. But there were some that I picked up in the course of my schoolwork, you know, either going to school, going to Baptist Academy, getting to do the morning chores. I was in the boarding house. And so by 5 a.m., Senior Sunday, Nwafor, those days it was a bell ringer. He will wake up at 5. By the time there's a big gong, you hear gong, gong, gong. Every boarder should be awake at 5. By 5:15, he's already on the prowl. All the different blocks, he had this little bell. Bagang, 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 bagang. Senior Nwafor will take it all through the corridors. And God bless you that you are not awake. 5:30, the roll call is happening at the assembly. And everybody's racing there. Why? Now, punctuality was a value. Did they teach me in primary school? Yes. But my parents always carried me to school. So I was always punctual. I didn't have any sense of independence and responsibility because, of course, my dad and my mom would knock me into shape. You have to get to school. So you wake up early. You know, it was all there, but they're more around parenting. Now, I am in a boarding school, and they're saying to you, 5:30, you must be at the assembly block. What do? They take the roll call, and then we sing hymns, and we pray, and we read a Bible passage and the announcements, and we disperse for morning duty. Now, those were values that were put in me at that time as a little boy. But with time, those values have transformed into bigger dimensions of it. So as an executive, I want to have a meeting. Because of the inherent value of punctuality, starting from my parents to the boarding house and through a certain course, if I choose to run a different path, for example, have a new set of friends who do not respect such values, who were not brought up the same way, who probably their parents never bothered whether they got to school earlier. There are a lot of parents that don't worry. Curator, make sure you go to class or make sure you go to school. I'm going to work. Wow. That's a very different scheme because the child wakes up, feels I've already earned my independence, and gets to school. The teacher says you are late. In those days, they'll give you like 6 strokes, pa, pa, pa. He collects it and sits down. The parents have no view. When such a person grows to become an executive, you will draw crooked lines. It's the type of boss that you will have. I will tell you, we have a meeting at 12 midnight because the value system was eroded from the beginning. So I'm going to talk to you about 4 different stages. The first stage I want to talk about, in principle, think about an athlete. It is about identifying with your body. Your body has several parts. When you look at, you know, and I'm talking about values changing over time. Once upon a time, you were a little boy. Once upon a time, you were a little girl. But when you became a lady or a young man, there were certain things around puberty that started happening. It's called the rites of passage. Now, moving from there, you get into another space. Each of these stages, take them into the life of an athlete. Every athlete that is worth his salt pays attention to the body because it's physical. 100 meters, a 400 meter, a quarter miler, whether it's a 10,000, a marathoner, every single one of them have certain nutrients that they must feed into the system called the body so they can be optimal. And every athlete that comes to a meet is always the best in his own community. So when you come together in a bigger context, you are the champion of your local government. You are the champion of your state. You are the champion of your country. And then you come together for a regional meeting. So it's a regional meeting of champions of different states, of different communities. That is exactly what happens with us when we go to the marketplace. Where is the marketplace? Your office. Where is the marketplace? Where you sit, where you go for voluntary, unpaid work, when you pursue your leisure, when you are with your friends, that is a mini marketplace. Why? All of you are coming to that place with different values because you are champions of a certain space. So as an athlete, if you do not identify with that, your body, and you go on an excessive ride, maybe you're an athlete and you eat a lot of fufu and afang, you will be heavy. Maybe you're an athlete, you drink only custard, you will be light. Now, you have to determine whether you want to build the muscles or you don't want to. Then you don't have to be in athletics. But in every single facet, every one of us must identify with our bodies. Why? Stage one, that of an athlete, means that you are going into the world to compete with other athletes. You must be fit, proper, and in shape. Those things around fitness is not about the gym. It's about your values. If you get into a meet, you can have a problem. The second stage is about the warrior. It's about building your ego. Now, many people see ego as being negative. It's not. Ego is a byproduct of confidence. Some people are overconfident and they don't know where to draw the line. While some that know how to manage it do take it on. Why? Remember, once upon a time in your school, you may have had a guy that was very good in mathematics. And it's natural in secondary school, people will flock to him or to her and say, "Hey, oh boy, I beg, show me this now." Then in the university, maybe you have a course in economics or a general course, mathematics course for all the social science students. It's always in year one. Every social science student must do what I call social science mathematics. Whether you are in sociology and anthropology, economics or political science, everybody needs to come there. What then happens? You go there to ask this person to teach you. That person will have a lot of self-esteem because of what he or she knows. But it's a display of it that can become arrogant, or it can make the person begin to tilt in a certain way. Now, you need to have that sense of being a warrior. What is it that you know? Your values that you know must be what will help you build your ego. Why? The simple definition of ego, a person's sense of self-esteem. If your parents have brought you up well, if they've trained you well, you've attended the best schools where they built you well, don't be apologetic about the values you have. You must become a warrior. Build a fence around it because those are the values that will help you to ignite excellence. From a psychoanalysis standpoint, ego is a part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious and is responsible for a lot of reality testing and a sense of personal identity. As I come back in a very short while, we'll take a short break. And when I come back and we're trying to look at the third stage, I hope you'll be there. So don't go away. It's Navigate with ID, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
This is Navigate with ID, brought to you by Corporate Shepherds.
thought leadership.
Now, the questioning process is not complete if you don't confirm with the person you are questioning.
Business ethics.
Most organizations do not have what you call codes of business conduct.
Personal development.
My daddy will always tell you, before you do so, ask why.
Ask why.
Yes.
And much more.
I want to appreciate all you are doing. Please keep it up.
Tune in and join the conversation on Navigate with ID. You can also follow ID on Twitter at IDYNang.
This is Navigate with ID, brought to you by Corporate Shepherds.
Welcome, my dear friends. And just in case you're joining, it's Navigate with ID. We've done the first half. This is the second half of this beautiful essence called Igniting Excellence. And I've been looking at that, you know, in the last couple of almost 30 minutes, and then we're going into the last frame. So I've been talking about the different stages that you have to walk through as your values will change over time. Just before we went on the break, I talked about two. The first stage, about an athlete, the form of an athlete, you identifying with your body what is essential, the essential nutrients, food, exercises, because you're going out there to compete. Stage two, I talked about the warrior mentality, about building your ego. And at that point, I did express to you what the ego is all around self-esteem. That if you have gone through a process of proper parenting and some other person doesn't have the benefit of proper parenting, and when the time comes for these values to clash in that space called the marketplace, called the community, called the friendship club, called the voluntary service, called the workplace, whatever place, you need to guard your values. And that's why I like what the scripture talks about. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it proceeds the issues of life. The heart, the matter of the heart is the heart of the matter. And that's why it's important that you build your self-esteem. Nigerians need to build their self-esteem. But Nigerians tend to have a lot of ego. They say we are egocentric. You know why? A man probably just has 1 cent. He behaves like he has $10,000. He has an inflated ego. All you need to do is just have a little pin and you bust the bubble. And next thing is, he's crying like a little baby. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the values that actually transform and transcend over time. The third stage I'd like to talk about is the stage I would liken to the statesman's mindset. Statesman. Having the statesman's mindset or mentality. At this particular stage, you are taming your ego. So you understand that I am so well gifted in mathematics. You understand that you are so well gifted in a certain craft, that God has imbued that certain skill in you that is not given to you by God to be able to abuse it. At that stage, you understand that the place of leadership that you have is for service. At that stage, you know that being a governor, being a president, being a manager, being a director, being a state representative, being a whatever title you may call it, you are just a simple steward. Having the mentality of a statesman means you must tame your ego, because the office can give you so much self-esteem, but it's the office esteem. That's why a lot of our politicians miss it. And many young people that are following the politicians end up in the wrong space. If someone is in a certain position, the ego that he exhibits is the ego the office has given to him, and it's some form of power. But after 4 years, what happens? After 8 years, what happens? After 16 years, what happens? That's why many of them get into government and never want to come out, because they are not ready to tame their ego. I want to say to you, friends, that if you are going to ignite excellence, you standing away from that pack, it's not about the office. It's not about the title. It's about it. And that it is what God has given to you as a special factor. God created you and made you beautifully and wonderfully. There are intrinsic and extrinsic attributes that God has imbued in you that the other person does not have. That is what matters, friends. The day you discover it, build on it with your values, then you become unstoppable. That's when you activate the warrior mentality. And this automatically puts you in a space where you move into stage four. Stage four is the stage of the spirit. That consciousness, developing your higher self. When you get into stage four, which is the spirit, it harkens directly to being an excellent steward. An excellent steward is someone who is able to move himself to a space where that which he has acquired is able to redistribute it. Whether it's money, whether it's time, whatever form of resources, he does it willy-nilly. Why? His values are now becoming transgenerational. So you will hear people tell you that that is the son of so-so-and-so. You hear that is the grandson of so-so-and-so. You hear that is the great-grandson of so-so-and-so. Why? Because they can see the spirit that was in the grandfather and in the father, now in the son. It's just the same spirit that you find in a little boy like Timothy. You find the spirit where someone says to you, oh, that is the son of Asukwena. That is the grandson of Asukwena. Why? Because they see some values that were in there. It's a spirit, friends. You can't catch it. You can't touch it. It's in the atmosphere. Why? Because it's gone through the process of identifying with you, building your ego, taming your ego. Now you're developing your higher self. And what is that about? That is transferring that consciously and unconsciously to the next generation. So when people see your children and they say the apple does not fall far from the tree, then they are telling you that you have developed a higher self. When they tell you in terms of looks, you are still in stage one. Because I see a lot of people say, ah, my son looks like me. They're not talking about physical looks. So don't be foolish. They're talking about values. I mean, there are some politicians now, I see their children get mesmerized with the wealth of the father. And I laugh. Why? Because once the father is no more, you will see the spirit that the man put in them. If it's the right spirit, it will remain. If it is the wrong spirit, you will see it. Some of them are sitting in businesses, their son of owner, daughter of owner. They carry a chip on their shoulders, not understanding the essence of why God must have transferred or given that opportunity of wealth to their fathers. If you do not have the capacity to redistribute values, you will never know how to keep values. And so, what's most important, friends? It's important for you to prioritize your values. Number one, it is important to assess the order in which your values matter. What exactly is of value to you? And you prioritize it. Number two, you must then compare each value to each one of the others. Why? Because sometimes there's a value conflict. There's a conflict inside. So for example, someone will tell you, I am very, very disciplined. But he will tell you integrity is also a value of mine. Hey, come on. When you look at discipline and you look at integrity, a disciplined man will have integrity. But some of you will list discipline and integrity as two values. No, one is in the other. It's like a pregnant woman that is already going to have a child. She is with child. She's with a child. The only thing that will happen is at the time she gives birth, you then know the gender is either male or female. It is when you are faced with a situation, then the test of your discipline will come through as a byproduct, which will be called integrity. Integrity is not only about not stealing. Integrity is who you are when nobody is watching. When you are sitting in that four corners of that room and there's something that pricks you called the conscience. The day your conscience stops pricking you, then it means you have no regard for integrity and you are not a man or woman with discipline. The third thing you do in prioritizing your values, remember friends, we are talking about igniting excellence. With each comparison you make, I want you to now do something, allocate a point for the value that matters more. So if you list a couple of values, just look at them as you compare, begin to allocate a point. So you may choose, it's your discretion totally. You may use 10 as your highest and 1 as your least. You could use 5 as your highest, 1 as your least. You could do whatever. It's your space. Do what you want. But I want you to come out of that exercise determining which value is most important to you. When you finish, then prepare a prioritized list of your values. When you finish this, friends, you will then know, these are the things that I want to be known for. These are the things I want to die for. These are the things that have come into my heart and I want to protect them. Why? Regardless of what happens around me, I will secure these values with my life and be able to transmit to my children, and hopefully it will get to my children's children. When you get to that stage, then we are ready for the big ticket item called living the values. The time has now come, after you've prioritized those values, that you now need to live your values. And this comes with a variety of questions. I'm going to reel out these questions to you so they become like guideposts to help you in living your values. Number one, how do you honor your values with your current actions? So you have discipline as a value. How do you honor discipline with your current action? When you say to someone, I'll see you by 9, do you get there before 9? When you say to someone, I want to see you by 10, do you call the person to say, I want to see you by 10? Or you call the person and say to the person, I want to see you by 9, and maybe, no. Many of us are very economic with the truth, and we live a lie. We live a life of lying. Some people, lying has become second nature. Now, for politicians, it's a way of life. They are ingrained. They live a lie to the extent that I pity. If my father was a politician, I tell you, I'll struggle a lot, because if my father were ever to be a politician and he says to me, son, good morning, I will not believe him. Because to a large extent, if you check your watch, most politicians that say good morning, they'll be saying it to you in the afternoon or in the evening. Even when they tell you in the morning, they don't mean it. Otherwise, things would have changed in this country. Number two, are you out of alignment with your values? So when you check by the first question, how do you honor your values with your current actions? Are you in tandem with it? Number two is, are you out of alignment with your values? Then the third one is, which values don't serve you well? Because there comes a time when you probably thought that it was important, this value was important to you. And really and truly, you probably just did not know that it wasn't important to you. You have to know whether it's important if you do a critique of your actions to say that this value served me well. The fourth question will be, how will living in alignment with your values change your experience? So how would your life experience change? How will people now begin to look at you from a collaborative standpoint and say, hey, this guy is becoming a lot more zestful, is becoming more accommodating, this lady is becoming a lot more empathetic, despite the fact that she's so much drive, she has so much energy, she's able to pause once in a while. Why? Because she values people. She values interpersonal relationships. If interpersonal relationships or people is a core value you want to have, then it means that you need to do things differently. It means that even starting from your domestic staff, you will be able to listen to them even when they have nothing tangible from your point of view to say. It means that you have the ear to listen and the eyes to see and the mouth to speak. And what that means, it shows that you are committed. A committed man is one that goes through the process of active listening and then active doing. Well, that is the fifth point that shows you're living your values. What are you committed to doing to ensure you live your values? And those are the very strong points that, you know, that come through very well. And one of the things that we have to bear in mind, friends, is that I would like to compare our lives to the daily course of the sun. The sun rises in the morning and what sets when? In the evening. So what are those things that, it's not every time that certain values will pop up. There are times that they will have to set, and there's times that they'll be tested. Do you know when the sun is at the peak of its power? When it's at that point, anything that goes against the sun will get burnt. You'll feel the heat, but there's also a time when the sun will set. So values
and the way we live our lives, we can compare our lives to the daily course of the sun. It means that behaviorally, there are some things that you do, and there are some things that you will also, there are moments when you need to rise, and there are moments when you need to set. The other thing that I'll say to you, friend, is that a sun that looks upon the wide, bright world which lies before it, it's one that radiates with a lot of love and a lot to do with. I mean, you just sit back and look at the world of people that are serving you or people that you are serving. What do you expect them to do? Their expectations. The way you and I look at the sun, we need the sun to give us so much, to help the plants grow. We need the sun to provide solar energy. We need the sun to do all manner of stuff. But if the sun is not there, what happens? And that's really at night. We need the sun for light. So do we have something at night to show us that, yes, we have the moon? But is it the same? It's about significance. How significant are you? How significant are the values that you have? Are they for you or they are for helping mankind? Those are the things that will help, you know, sharpen the living part of it. Because if you're living your values for yourself alone, then you'll become narcissistic. You'll just be me, myself, and I. And that's not how God wants. God is a relational God. And so he created people so they can have, you know, a sense of being together. Otherwise, it would have just been just you and you alone. Just imagine if every one of us, you know, we decide to be our own and on our own. What will happen? You wake up in the morning, you have to do everything. You don't need any other person. That's impossible. We are not robots. Robots are the ones that are made to function, to type. But humans are not. Humans are meant to bring the glory and the significance of living to say. So, you know, in walking through these dimensions, that you all can begin to look at what I'm saying to you, I want you to go out in that spirit of igniting excellence, to look at yourself as the sun. Look at the sun. The sun looks upon the wide, bright world which lies before it. It's an expanse which steadily widens the higher it climbs. The sun will always discover its significance. You have to discover your own significance. What exactly are you looking for as you want to radiate excellence? You must be able to understand that attaining that great possible height requires a goal, and that you can make it. In making it, there are certain things you need to do. We are about to turn 60 as a nation, and then a logo is unveiled. 60th logo. What does it mean? Just a logo. Has no meaning. Maybe the 60-year-olds will be thanking God for Diamond Jubilee, but most Nigerians will be saying 60 ko, 60 ni. Because the people themselves do not feel the radiation from the sun. And the sun in this case, they look at the wrong sun. They look at government. The best sun that is going to help us make our 60th anniversary blossom is the sun in every individual. Because every one of us is light radiating. Every one of us will light a candle. And each one reach one, before you know it, we will have a conflagration of light across this nation. The love we're looking for will totally transcend religious, tribal, ethnic, and all manner of ills, if only every individual sees himself in the weight and character of the sun. That's about igniting excellence. It's the excellence of seeing me as that bright light that can affect my family, I can affect my community, I can affect my state, and at the end of the day, I bring not just glory to my country, Nigeria, but to Africa as a whole. It is a new way that we should be looking at the setting of our 60th anniversary. And again, friends, if you are the light of the world, if you are a city that is set on a hill that is not hidden, then you'll understand that there's a point where every single one of us must, like the sun, begin a stroke of descent. And it's at noon. When is your own noon? As you go through a period of excellence, you cannot stay on an excellent path all the time. And I want to qualify this. As the sun rises, it rises, but it gets to the peak of its power. If you meet the sun at 9 a.m., it cannot be as potent as 12 noon. If you meet the sun at 3 p.m., it does not mean that the sun has lost its potency, but is a constructive element at that time. It's situational. So when you find yourself on a pathway of excellence, don't expect that at 9 a.m. you will be excellent. Don't expect that 3 a.m. you will be excellent. You will still be in your elements of excellence, but there must be a peak. That peak, just like the sun at 12 noon, is when you radiate the very best. For you and I, that peak is when we are confronted with those things that will challenge our values. That is the time when all you need, that warrior mindset of yours, that strategic athlete and that spirit you've carried, will come against it. And someone says to you, go against the normal grind. You say no, because that is when your sun, that is when the peak of your power, the peak of your value, the peak of that certain thing that you've had. I've had cases of bosses setting up their subordinates. Why? Because they say, go and do this. Go and do this. And you go, by the powers conferred on me, the boss leads you to go. When the trouble hits, the man steps back and is the same person that will issue you a query. And who do you speak to? Nobody. Who do you quote? Nobody. What do you say? Nothing. You get into depression, but you have a voice. At the time the man is saying to you or woman, do this uncanny thing, that is when your own son gets to the peak of its power. You are able to rise with all confidence and say, no, sir. Why? Because of X, Y, Z. Now, there are consequences. Just like the sun. If you get close to the sun, you'll be burnt, right? So whoever is going to come close to you at that point might tell you that you are fired. But that does not mean that life ends. What it means, you've just opened a new vista of confidence that this is how it will be. In the short run, it may be very uncomfortable. But I tell you one thing, there is no way God will always justify the wicked. There is always an end point. There is. Don't think about all these things happening around us as a nation. Everyone is paying, or it's just that you don't know. They are paying the price in different ways. There are some they are paying with the health, such that all the money that they've stolen, they are looking for health everywhere. They are going to Dubai, where Kuro has kept most of them. But despite going with their PJ, not pajamas, their private jet, they fly to wherever in search of health that you are enjoying. It's a peace you have, but you are looking at them and saying, I wish I had so much money. Don't wish for things that would destroy you. Wish for the best, and it's by entrenching and igniting excellence, because that thing that you have is yours. The afternoon of life is just as full of meaning as the morning. Only its meaning and purpose are different. So don't even ever look at yourself and say, no, I'm at the twilight. You are not at the twilight. Nothing is going down. Just like the sun, when it sets, rises in the morning, 6 a.m., sets in the evening, does not mean that the sun is not the sun at 9. Does not mean it's not the sun at 3 p.m. No, doesn't mean it's not the same sun at 6 p.m. It means that it's radiating another part of the planet. That's who you are. You are a miracle going somewhere to happen. As you leave point A and people do not see or regard that value you have, when you move like the sun to point B and you radiate that same value, you'll be celebrated. So you may not be celebrated at home, but you'll be celebrated in the community. You may not be celebrated in the community, you may be celebrated in your state. If you may not be celebrated in your state, you will be celebrated nationally. You may not even be celebrated nationally or known, but somebody somewhere in the international space can just but look at that sun, that light that you've radiated, that truth, that value that you brought as uncommon, and guess what? You will get promoted. Friends, I'm at that point and juncture that I'm saying to you, your best days are still ahead. I've used the analogy of the sun to tell you about excellence and how you can ignite it. You are that dream. You are that person. You are that individual that can join the colony of individuals to make our nation great again. I know people just wonder, why do I have so much confidence in this whole thing, this whole entity called Nigeria, because known unto God are his works from eternity. It pleased him to make me the product of Akunawan, Grace Enang, and Asukwa, John Enang. Those two came as husband and wife, and of course, this man called Idoren Enang. You call me ID, but my name is Idoren, all right? And that's why I'm a city set on a hill. I want you to join me as we go on this journey of igniting excellence, and let people begin to thank God for the best days are still ahead. Thank you so much for listening. If you do have any questions, you know where to go. Just send them to the website www.navigatewithid.com. And if you want to follow us, it's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It's at IDYENANG. Feel free, any of the platforms, to ask your questions or comments, even on this beautiful program. Thank you so much. By the grace of God, we'll be here same time, same station on Thursday. God bless you. Bye.
And that was Navigate with ID, brought to you by Corporate Shepherds.